Good morning. It's a beautiful day out there, but don't be deceived. It is cold out, as it should be. I noticed this morning it was 12 degrees at 5 o'clock in the morning. 12 degrees. That's pretty cold. That is pretty cold. Fortunately, I was indoors. I wasn't outside. And it was just curiosity, not necessity, for me to find out how cold it was. Why would anyone want to cool the planet down? I don't get it. I really don't. So we will have the sheriff, the current sheriff of Bristol County, Paul Heroux, here at 11 o'clock. If you have any questions for the sheriff, you can give him a call. 508-996-0500. Yesterday, we had another development in the run for the Republican nomination for governor. Brian Shortsleeve. Again, guys, Bristol County is really, really important in the election. That means you and me. Yesterday, the mayor of Taunton, Republican mayor, Sean O'Connell, endorsed Brian Shortsleeve for governor for the nomination and then ultimately to be the governor of the Commonwealth. That's quite a pickup for Brian Shortsleeve, and he'll join us in the 10 o'clock hour to talk about that. He's paying a lot of attention to Bristol County. And that means me and you are in play, right? All of them want our votes. Many of you are going to be delegates of the convention. Taunton has a significant number of delegates going to the convention. I don't know if Shauna O'Connell controls them, so to speak. She very well may. But within any municipality, there are going to be people that go as a block and people get elected on their own and they're up for play. So if you're not yet involved in the caucus system as a Republican or as a Democrat, really, now is the time to get involved. Reach out to your local parties. There's more fun, I think, more interesting things going on the Republican side than the Democrat side, because I don't believe anybody's going to challenge the governor, Governor Healey, for the nomination. But that may change. That could change. Her performance has been dismal at best. So it may be that the Democrats realize they potentially could lose control of the governor's office to the Republicans, and so they try to shake it up a little bit, but I don't know. So anyway, there's a whole lot going on around the region. Kind of open phones, as I said. We've got Brian Shortsleeve in the 10 o'clock hour. We've got the sheriff of Bristol County in the 11 o'clock hour. But I'd love to hear from you in this hour. If you got something on your mind, I'd love to hear about it. Very interesting development. Took a long time. But the pipe bomber in Washington, D.C., around the time of January 6th, literally, I believe, on January 5th or 6th, he placed, allegedly, pipe bombs around the Capitol at the DNC, the RNC. He's been arrested. For some reason, the Biden Justice Department could not come up with a guy. But now, the FBI, under Attorney General Pam Bondi, selected by President Trump, has arrested a man in his 20s who 4 or 5 years ago placed pipe bombs in the Capitol. Finally, arrested. That's a very interesting development, right? We don't know much about him. The Attorney General was on Fox News this morning. They had a press conference yesterday. Major development. We appreciate Kash Patel, Attorney General Pam Bondi, and of course, President Trump for making that all happen with those appointments. All right. So if you want to get through, you can. It's 508-996-0. I got some people on hold. Love to hear from you. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the program. It's Friday morning here on WBSM. I guess everywhere in the world, just about, it's Friday morning, right? Anywhere in the world that matters, the United States, it's Friday. So hopefully you're enjoying it. Beautiful day out there, but it is cold. This cold weather reminds me to remind you, get that windshield fixed. Do you have a cracked windshield, cracked glass anywhere in your car? Reach out to Citywide Glass. You don't have to go to them. They'll come to you. Citywide Glass is a phone call away. They're in Dartmouth and Fall River. Just call them up. They'll send their mobile tech team right out to your home or your work, parking lot, right, and fix your windshield. They'll bill your insurance company. Won't cost you anything. Citywide Glass, you can book the appointment on the internet at citywideglass.net or call them up in Dartmouth or Fall River. Citywide Glass, get that windshield fixed immediately. All right, we got people on hold. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, my friend.
Hey, what's happening?
I feel like Frankie Pentangeli. I've been trying to get through to you, and I can't get through for the past couple of days.
Well, you don't. I don't see your name here, so I.
Well,
how would
I don't
I know.
I've got my phone name there, and but that's beside the point. I want to thank you, okay,
for
asking the mayor offline, which is fine, about the thing we talked about with the Port Authority.
Mm-hmm.
I was turned on to the story because of your endorsement of the New Bedford Light,
yes.
Okay, and I think it's an important issue, and the fact that he's going to look into it and get back to you is fine with me, okay? So I was just calling to thank you for doing that.
No, you're welcome. I think it's a major issue, particularly because I think that a lot of political forces outside of the city have been using different agencies over the years and nonprofit groups to attack the city of New Bedford and in particular the mayor of New Bedford. And that's why I'm encouraged that the mayor is going to use his experience and his skills to do an answer to this Inspector General report and highlight the deficiencies in the report. That'll be very interesting.
I believe so, too. But again, you have the ability, when you want to, okay, even if it was on open line, to coax people to do things that maybe might not be so pleasant to do.
Yes.
And that's where your great strength is, okay? Anybody can, you know, yell and scream and holler and this and that and the other, but that ability that you have to do that, even if you talk to the mayor about it on the open line part, which is no problem, a lot of people can't do that, you know. And I listen to you doing that, and I wish I had that ability. I would try to do that if I could and emulate you. So I just want you to know I appreciate
you. No, I appreciate you calling. You're a great contributor to this program. You really
are. Thank you very much. With that, I'll let you go because in the possibility in doing this, I have a problem with the medications and stuff. And but while trying to get in touch with you, I was calling Hawthorne Medical and the drugstore, and they're both blaming one another about a medication I'm not getting. So that was all involved in that in the time period of the last 2 days of trying to get in touch with you and that sort of thing. So I just want you to know that.
No, I appreciate that, my friend. Thank you, as always.
You take care of yourself.
You too, my friend. Thank you. Yeah, believe me, I understand. I jokes with myself and certainly with Natalie and other people. One of these days, I'm going to end up dying on hold, right? Like that gentleman's talking about. It's just so much has been moved to phones and AI and automated stuff. I mean, it's good in a lot of senses. It's good. But I can certainly be sympathetic. I spend a lot of time on the phone, on hold, and going back and forth to medical appointments and picking up medication. I don't really don't pick up the medication. Natalie does it, or somebody else does it for me. But yeah, no, I can appreciate that. And look, the New Bedford Light does great work. I think they do. There is, in fact, there's a very interesting story this morning by Kevin Andred, who's doing the immigration beat locally for the New Bedford Light. He's doing work that most news organizations aren't doing. And he has a story today that you should check out that I'll put it under the headline, Trump Policies Working, because a lot more of the illegal invaders are getting right. They're either leaving or they're applying to be citizens. Amazing, right? Donald Trump, his policies are working. They are taking the shadow community who have come into the country illegally. They're either getting right and becoming citizens, or they're leaving, which is what we voted for, certainly what I voted for. You cannot have a shadow class of people living under the underground on the down low, not paying taxes, living illegally here in the country. You can't have that. And the idea the Democrats were going to allow that is bizarre to me. So anyway, let's go to the New Bedford Light. Kevin Andrade's really important story today, talking about how the Trump policies are working. Illegal aliens are either applying to become citizens or they're leaving. That's what we voted for, right? So I'm glad the New Bedford Light is highlighting that. So I'm going to play a little bit from the robot here. But you could all check it out at New Bedford Light, newbedfordlight.org. Let's go to the article now.
Climate of fear prompts some immigrants to apply for citizenship or leave. By Kevin G. Andrade. New Bedford, as U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents continue to aggressively arrest immigrants nationwide, many are either deciding to apply for citizenship or opting to leave the country instead. The Immigrants Assistance Center is handling three times more citizenship applications than this time last year. On the flip side, according to area advocates, there has been an increase in immigrants seeking help in returning to their countries of origin. Between July and October 2025, workers at the IAC filled out 250 citizenship applications. That's compared to 245 in the 12 months from July 2024 to June 2025. We're seeing people that have green cards and have been in the U.S. for such a long time afraid to temporarily leave the country, said Helena Da Silva Hughes, the IAC's president. They're afraid that having a green card is no longer enough to guarantee safety. Gail Breslow, the executive director of Project Citizenship, a statewide nonprofit that helps low-income immigrants, said 30% more people have initiated citizenship applications with her organization's help compared to last year. Between January and September 2025, Project Citizenship started files for 1,875 people interested and qualified for citizenship. That's compared to 1,431 in January to September 2024. We're seeing a lot of fear, anxiety, uncertainty, said Breslow. Our people are permanent residents, she said. They live and work in the community and their children go to school here. Many don't have the option to just pick up and move, and they don't want to, she continued. This is their home. New hurdles. Advantages of citizenship include the ability to work most federal jobs, permanent rights to live and work in the U.S., and the right to vote. But the Trump administration has made attaining citizenship more difficult. On October 28, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services stopped accepting checks or money orders for citizenship application fees. According to Breslow, 90% of applicants were using checks and money orders before the change, in part because many immigrants don't have bank accounts. She added that many clients qualify for a low-income fee waiver. The administration has also made the citizenship exam more difficult, increasing the number of questions candidates must learn from 100 to 128, the number of questions asked from 10 to 20 questions, and the correct responses required from 6 to 12. Fiscal impact. Massachusetts Office for Refugees and Immigrants.
Okay. So again, if you want to see the read the rest of that article or listen to it, have the robot read it to you at home, go to NewBedfordLight.org. Again, I really think the New Bedford Light, particularly Kevin Andrade, are doing great work on the immigration beat. Certainly, I read them every day, and I would encourage you to. I have no piece of it. It's a nonprofit, but I just think that between the journalists they have over there and the really interesting things going on in this community, they're doing a great work. Great work. And of course, I always read Jack Spillane and Mr. Hogan. All those writers over there are doing a great job. So when I listen to that story, I hear only good things. Things I voted for. Things you've voted for. Donald Trump is tightening up the immigration system. American citizenship is one of the greatest things ever invented in the world, quite frankly. There's only upside as far as I'm concerned. Now, you do have to pay taxes, right? You want to be a citizen, you got to pay taxes. I know people that have given up their citizenship. They make a lot of money. They made a lot of money before they gave it up. But because they were making a lot of money and not living in the United States, they didn't like paying income taxes. And I mean, I'm sympathetic to that. Nobody really likes paying income taxes, except maybe me. I'm personally glad that I'm able to pay income taxes to keep the pirate ship going. That's me. I don't mind. I love the country. I do my part. I appreciate the fact that I can work and that the American system gives me the opportunity to work. The Federal Communications Commission, all that stuff is integral in me being able to work. So I really don't mind slicing off some for my country. I really don't. But I really don't make that much money. And money's not something I've ever really cared about. It's a way to keep score, I guess. You need it. You need it to live. But I guess if I wasn't living in America, living anywhere in the world, you do have to pay income taxes. You realize that? If you're a U.S. citizen. So I wonder if part of the motivation for people who are here with green cards and are working, part of the motivation for not becoming a citizen is that they realize they'll have to pay income taxes forever, even when they leave. Because maybe they really don't want to be an American. Maybe they just view America as a place to come, to exist, to make a living, but they really don't want to be an American. It's hard for me to understand. But many of you know people like that. They've lived here, worked here, but they aren't citizens. We have some on the New Bedford Police Department, to be honest with you. All right, 508-996-0500. Does the pipe bomb story interest you at all? Are you suspicious of the fact that the FBI, under the full control of the Biden administration, could never make an arrest? It wasn't until Kash Patel came in and Dan Bongiorno, and they started looking at that case again, that they were able to put all these pieces together that have existed since Biden, since January 6th, all those years ago. The FBI had all this information. What took so long to figure out who the pipe bomber was, allegedly, and to make arrests? 508-996-0500. The City of New Bedford Police Union, they've got a request for your attention, all right? The New Bedford Police Union is asking for your support while they negotiate for a fair contract for better education and training programs for their officers. New police equipment and technology, and for safe police staffing levels. They cannot do this alone. Please support public safety and your brave New Bedford police officers while they keep this great city safe. For more information, visit the New Bedford Police Union Facebook page or the website at newbedfordpoliceunion.org. This message is brought to you by the brave men and women of the New Bedford Police Union. All right, we're going to take a break and then we'll be right back. As I said, it's kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, if you got something you want to say to my vast audience, please give us a call at 508-996-0500. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. Boy, we're a long way from toes in the sands and drinks in the hand, right? It was 12 degrees this morning, but it's getting hotter in here. It's getting warmer every day. We're taking your calls at 508-996-0500. By the way, if you're in law enforcement, you're interested, the town of Rehoboth is looking for police officers to make lateral transfers. You do have to be an American citizen. Rehoboth never sleeps, and they're proud of their requiring their police to be citizens. But it's a great police department, great leadership on the Board of Selectmen over there. So if you are in law enforcement, you already have an academy, you're certified and all that good stuff, and you're interested in making a lateral transfer, reach out to the Rehoboth Police Department and ask some questions, find out about it. They've got some new leadership over there. They took a chief. Well, the new chief went from being a sergeant on ability all the way to chief. So they do recognize talent out there. So if you're a talented police officer in the sound of my voice and you're interested, reach out to Rehoboth. It's phone call doesn't hurt, right? Anyway, 508-996-0. Open phones. We'll have the sheriff of Bristol County, Paul Heroux, at 11 o'clock. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, my friend. I'm going to keep along the lines of you mentioned it before the commercial and you just brought it up again about Rehoboth.
Mm-hmm.
So, suggestion and a request, kind of both. Next week, I'll call in during the mayor's show, and if some point next week you can get somebody from the police union and have from both sides, obviously there's two different views, what do they consider the main sticking points? Obviously both will have different views. Then let's see what they both agree on as the sticking points. And as you know, in the art of negotiation and anything political over contracts, what's it going to take to hit that middle ground, take care of our police officers, and move on? This is an embarrassment. It's gone, what, over 525 days now without that contract?
Yep.
From what was supposed to be a promised contract? Let's get it done.
Phil, that's a great suggestion. I don't know that either parties are interested in negotiating it in public like that, but it's a hell of an idea for the radio. I agree with you, Phil.
I'm not talking about negotiating. Just talk about what do you see as the sticking points. I ain't asking to debate it. These are our most important issues, which is called sticking points.
Yep.
Then have the mayor say, this is the issues we're worried about, and let the people hear it. Because most people don't know.
So I love it, Phil. Yeah, it's been playing out a little bit on Facebook. The police union's been putting it on Facebook. No, Phil, that's a great idea. I appreciate it.
Because, I mean, I appreciate what they're doing. I see about citywide, because, you know, I crisscross the city for all different reasons. I've seen about a little more than 24 of the signs supporting the police and all that. Actually, one's on Carswell Street on the fence right next to Antonio's. So that's the most visible one. And I started seeing them a few weeks ago. So let the average citizen understand at least enough about what's going on.
Good stuff, Phil. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thank you, my friend. Thank
you. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you. And by the way, under the undercover, not undercover, I guess, but in the background, you're seeing political forces starting to take shape. Potential people running for mayor. John Mitchell's keeping his powder dry, which is his right. My assumption is he's running for re-election. My assumption. I don't think he's done being an elected official, and I don't know what other opportunities are available to him at this time. But you're going to take, I'm taking a look, quite frankly, so you don't have to. Listening to me, I'll keep you well informed. But, and I was talking with somebody who's very knowledgeable about running for office in the city of New Bedford. We were talking about what somebody has to do. And I've told you this already. My belief is they got to raise about $30,000 a month. Certainly starting this month, okay? This month. $1,000 a day, because the calendar year is going to end at the end of the month. And it's a $1,000 limit per person per year. So everybody who hasn't gotten the max contribution, $1,000, is going to need to get it. But here's the interesting part. There's very few people who care enough to give $1,000 who the mayor of New Bedford is. So it's a very tight group. And if they're willing to change horses, in other words, dump John Mitchell, or play both sides of the fence, and write a check to a challenger. So it's going to be very interesting. Shane Burgo's been shooting his mouth off that he's running for mayor. But we're going to know if he doesn't have maximum contributions from everybody who can do it in the city of New Bedford, in the greater New Bedford area, then his candidacy is dead. Dead, dead, dead in the water. Like the country was under Joe Biden, right? So we're watching to see what Shane Burgo is able to do. Otherwise, his candidacy is dead in the water. And we'll watch it as it goes through. But he'll have to raise $30,000 in the month of January, $30,000 in the month of February, March, April, May, all the way through. If he's not able to accomplish that, then basically he's peaked at being a city councilor. And there's a number of other ones who we're watching who, if they're not able to do it, then they're peaked as a city councilor, basically. You got a junk car, well, it's that magical time of the year to turn it into cash, right? It's that magical time of the year here on the South Coast when your car won't start, your wallet's empty, and that special someone on your list has champagne dreams. Well, don't panic. Mid-City Scrap in Westport has your back and your tow truck. They are paying top dollar for junk cars, running cars, rusted cars, even frozen solid cars, frozen solid trucks, tractors, whatever you got in your yard, it doesn't really matter. They'll tow it for free. They'll get it out of your sight, and you'll get cash that you need for the Christmas season. That means more cash for gifts, heating oil, and let's be honest, more eggnog. Mid-City Scrap. Give them a call in Westport or stop by State Road, 548 State Road in Westport. Mid-City Scrap, turning junk cars into cash all winters long, right? All right, we got people on hold as we usually do. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Was it cold enough for you?
Yeah, it was very cold, but I was inside. So
me too.
I didn't go out. What do you think about all that fraud going on with Tim Walz being the governor there in Minnesota?
Omar, it sounds like Democrat Congresswoman Omar Iliad, or whatever her name is, the Somalian, sounds like it's her family or her supporters that are doing it, right?
Yes, and that's a socialist democratic state. Now, we're Massachusetts. Now, we're a socialist democratic state, wouldn't
yes,
you say?
I would agree.
And maybe that's why they don't want us to have an audit?
Well, that's certainly a very valid reason or invalid reason to not audit, right? Why there are so many people in the State House that are fighting this, including the governor.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Really suspicious, too, you know. So, you know, so many things happen with the Biden administration coming to surface now. Their administration was a circus, and now it's all coming apart, what they've been doing with the FBI and the CIA and Justice Department.
Well, here's the thing. I would agree. Look at the parallels between Governor Healey and the Biden administration. She had cocaine, or someone in her administration now under indictment, had cocaine delivered right to the State House. Biden had cocaine literally right in the White House. It's really, really bizarre.
Yeah, and it seems like certain people in the government, not Trump's government, but politicians seem... they don't want to stop the drugs coming into the country. They're speaking out against it.
Right. Can you imagine being a U.S. senator or a member of Congress and defending drug traffickers and their right to the open seas to make passage to America to dump their poison here? It seems like, to me, I would not take that position. It's bizarre. But that is what hating the president, hating the country looks like.
And it seems like they're all Democrat politicians.
Yes.
Who are speaking out against don't want to stop the drugs coming in. I don't know. You have to maybe look behind and see why they're taking that position.
I agree with you, my friend. Thanks for the call, as always. Think about it. Imagine hating someone so much you take the position of defending drug traffickers who are dumping poison into every congressional district in this country, right? Turning young Americans into drug addicts and all the havoc that causes. How can anybody seeking elected office defend the rights of drug traffickers on the open seas? It's bizarre to me. It really is. But it's kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, what's happening, Mike?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How have you been?
I'm okay. I'm all right, my friend. Still here kicking. Still pissing people off. So you got to love it.
Yes.
So I agree with everything you say about raising the money. The one thing that I'm sure you are well aware of is there are people out there with big, big money who contribute more than $1,000 in a year.
Yes. Somehow.
And they do that obviously by what we call washing the money into the campaign, where they'll take $10,000 of their money and give it to 10 friends and tell them to donate to a certain politician.
I've heard about that. I've never witnessed it, but I've heard about it.
Well, I have never witnessed it.
Right. But you know about
it. But I know for a fact that it happens.
Yes.
So, you know, I think I pretty much would say John Mitchell's going to run again. So I don't see anybody beating him, in all honesty.
No, I don't either.
I don't see anybody beating him. And if you think you're going to beat him with $40,000 or $50,000 or even $100,000, you're not going to do it, because he'll just keep on pouring more and more money into it. That's why nobody runs against a good Senator Montefi.
Right.
They got just too much in the war chest. And that money, you know, people say, oh, money, money. Well, money, listen, the only way John Mitchell loses an election is if that parallel products goes into Ward 1 and Ward 1 turns on him, like Ward 6 did with the sewage treatment plant on Bullard.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you.
That cost Bullard the election.
But you still have to... You still have to have a credible candidate to run against. In other words, Bullard, in addition to that, had a credible candidate, and you're going about to talk about it.
Right. Tierney went down to Ward 6 and just demolished him. And it was a close race, 52-48, 51-49, if my memory serves me correctly. So it was still a close race. But if you tick off Ward 1 and all its surrounding areas, like some of 3, some of 2, and those people go out and vote, then he's in trouble. And then I don't know if all that money can buy him another term. And I also agree with you, Chris, and I'll end with this, that I don't think any term for mayor or city council or anything should be 4 years. It wasn't broke, so don't fix it. It was great to always have that top card every 2 years to draw people out. And it's not happening now. And I don't know what's wrong with the voters in New Bedford anyway, because they used to come out big time, and now they don't, but it is what it is, and you got to win with what's out there. So I hope you have a great day, Chris, and a nice weekend.
You too, my friend.
Have a great day.
See you later, my friend. As always. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Stick around. We have the sheriff of Bristol County, Paul Heroux, Democrat, here at 11 o'clock. Brian Schultz, even the 10 o'clock hour for a little bit, talking about his endorsement by the mayor of Taunton, Shauna O'Connell. Stick around. Ellen here on Friday morning. Remember, at 11 o'clock, we'll be joined by the Bristol County Sheriff, Democrat Paul Heroux. It's always a good time with the sheriff. In the 10 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by gubernatorial candidate on the Republican side, Brian Shortsleeve, who picked up the endorsement of a Bristol County mayor. I think the only Republican mayor in Bristol County right now. We got a lot of selectmen, but Shauna O'Connell endorsed Brian Shortsleeve, and that should, and I don't know the numbers exactly, but that should bring a number of delegates over to the Shortsleeve campaign in the Republican contest. If you're interested in being a delegate, with a lot of new people in the party, you know, who've gotten interested in politics because of Donald Trump, interested in Republican Party politics because of the president. You'll have caucuses coming up. You have to be a registered member of the Republican Party, which you can do very easily. I know I brought Hank Turgeon over, helped him. You can just do it by your phone. Go to the Secretary of State, switch your party affiliation. It's very easy to do. To Republican, from Democrat or unenrolled. And then you're going to attend the caucuses. You'll get a letter, an email from your state committee person. And by the way, Bob O'Connell, congratulations. Made it through a little bit of a health scare, a little operation. Prayers and blessings for Bob O'Connell. Robert O'Connell represents Fairhaven, New Bedford, Dartmouth, Acushnet on the Republican level, along with Joanne Hodgson. So I got message from Bob that he's recovering right now, and we're really happy for Bob. So anyway, you'll have an opportunity coming up to get elected, to be a delegate to the convention if you're a registered Republican. If you don't want to be a delegate, you certainly should participate in the caucuses. It's a lot of fun, very interesting. And if you're already an elected official as a Republican, you probably can go as a delegate. So anyway, stick around for the local news, the national news. We come back, we'll spend a few minutes with Brian Shortsleeve, candidate for governor, certainly for the Republican nomination. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll be joined